We'll be turning your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. Look at Genesis. We'll be in chapter 6 to begin this evening. As we study our Bibles, we notice that there are many different, what we might call preachers, prophets, speakers or mouthpieces for God. And as we study the Bible and realizing the fact that we as Christians are to be evangelists, to some degree each one of us as Christians, as God's children, are to be preachers in and of ourselves. We are to be preaching God's Word and how we live. We are to be teaching others concerning God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. But as we look at the book of Genesis, and we see the story of the flood, the account of the flood, we see a man by the name of Noah. As we study this particular account, beginning in Genesis chapter 6, I believe there are four things here about Noah that we should notice. We've entitled this evening's sermon, this evening's sermon, as Noah's Sermon. We want to look at Noah. We want to look at this particular period of time concerning and around the flood and see what it is. What was Noah's message? What can we learn from him and how he conducted himself and how he went about carrying out the commands of God? Four things about Noah that we're going to notice. First of all, Noah's sermon began before he actually knew about the flood. Number two, Noah preached obedience to a plan. Number three, Noah preached salvation and condemnation by water. And number four, we'll notice that Noah preached about a day of judgment that was coming. Number one, Noah's sermon began before he actually knew about the flood. Begin reading with me in chapter 6 and verse 8, or verse 5 rather, 5 through 8. We read there, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But notice verse 8. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You see, friends, Noah was living righteously before he ever knew about the flood. He found grace in the sight of God. Noah was different from those of his day. He didn't think only evil continually. He wasn't looking for new ways to go against the commands of God. He was striving to be pleasing unto God, and so he found grace. Verse 5, we see there that the world's thoughts were only evil continually. Verse 11, we see that the world was violent and corrupt. But verse 8, we find the saving grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Friends, we need to ask ourselves this question. If the situation were to come upon us today, now we know He'll never destroy it by water again. But if God were to destroy the earth, and He's going to one day, when that day comes, when the day of judgment finally gets here, will we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Will you and I be able to stand before the God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, and stand justified before Him because we stand in Him? What was Noah doing? If we look in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, we get an idea here of what it was concerning Noah's life. Just like it should be all of ours. In the Sermon on the Mount there, Jesus preaches concerning how we ought to live. Notice what He says beginning in verse 13. "Ye, His disciples, ye are the salt of the earth." That is, those that would follow Him, those that are following God. "But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friends, when God looks to earth, do we find grace in His eyes? You see, even though Noah was different, he still stood in condemnation without a plan of salvation. And so God gave him that plan. Noah could not have saved himself, could he? No, without the ark, without God's plan of the ark, without God's plan of the ark and the flood, Noah would not have been saved. He could not have saved himself and his family from the flood. He was in need of one greater who could save him. My friend, in our day and time, there are many people who are good people, aren't there? Many people that are good people. We look at the world, it's full of wickedness and it's full of strife. And all of this turmoil, there are still many who stand out from this terrible picture as good people. But friends, they just like Noah, cannot save themselves. They need God's plan. They need God's plan of salvation. No one has hope except that one greater will save them. God has provided that way that we can be saved just as He did for Noah. One thing that we can learn from Noah is that he tried to live righteously even before he knew about the flood. We need to continue, friends, to strive to live righteously according to the Word of God, just as Noah was doing. Number two, Noah preached obedience to a plan that was given to him by God. Turn with me to Genesis 7 and look at verse 5. Genesis 7 and verse 5 says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." In other words, he didn't leave anything out. Everything that God told him to do, he did it. Did it just as God gave it to him. Did it just as God intended for him to do it. And so we see this verse. Look at also 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 states, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Notice that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. What constitutes righteousness, friends? Following the Word of God. Doing that which is right. Doing that which is right according to God. We are to do that which is right. We are to do all that God commands us. Notice that Noah did not try to figure out a better way of salvation. He did not try to find a different way. He realized very early on, it seems, that God's way was the only way. There was no other way to be saved but to do it God's way. Noah followed every detail. Genesis 6, 14 through 16, we learn there of the details. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Now, friends, think about that for a moment. All of these details, and Noah followed them to a T. There was a specific type of wood that he had to have. There were specific dimensions. It had to be 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. Approximately, as it comes out in our measurements today, 450 by 75 by 45 feet. Now, there was one ark. Excuse me. There was one ark. There was one door. There was one window. There was a specified group of passengers. Had to meet all these specifications. Out of all these details, Noah left nothing out. But friends, today, man must hear the same message of obedience. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Great Commission, again, as we discussed briefly this morning, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe whatsoever things that Jesus has commanded, and He will be with us always, even to the end of the age. We see it in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, letting our light shine before men that they may glorify the Father which is in heaven. Friends, God has specified the building materials of the church. John 1 and verse 29, Christ, of course, is that foundation. Better foundation can no man lay than that which was laid. Acts 2 and verse 47, we see the apostles' doctrine. They are being added to the church daily, those that were being saved. He's given us the building blocks. He's given us the dimensions. Jesus says that all that will come, all that labor and that will come to him, Matthew 11, 28 and verse 30, shall be given rest. Matthew 7 and verse 21, doing the will of the Father, those shall be saved. So friends, how does that happen? Not only has he given the building materials of the church, not only has he given us the dimensions, but he's also given us the instructions. We must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Son of God, repenting of our sin, confessing him before men, and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, we read there, in flaming fire, this is what's going to happen on judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that, notice this, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we must obey as God has commanded, or risk the vengeance of the Lord. And once we've obeyed, friends, we must remain faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Will it be said of us, thus did Josh. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did Hilton. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did, insert your name. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. Will that be said of you? Noah followed God's plan. He preached obedience to the plan of God. Number three, when we look at Noah, we see that Noah preached salvation and destruction by water. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. 1 Peter 3 and verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Friends, the same water that lifted Noah and his family out of that destruction destroyed those who were not in the ark. If it had not been for the water lifting up the ark, Noah and his family would have died like all the others. And so you see, the same water that lifted up the ark destroyed those who were not in the ark. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Friends, it works much the same way today. As Peter describes it there in 1 Peter chapter 3, the same water that puts us in the Lord's church keeps those who are lost out of the church. But what I mean by that is that those that are baptized for the remission of their sins are added to the Lord's church. Those who refuse that water will be lost. The same water both saves and condemns. Did not been for that water, the human race would have been destroyed completely. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He followed God's plan, and he preached salvation and destruction by this water. The Lord adds, as we said, to save the church. To be saved means to have our sins washed away. To remove sins, one must be obedient to that gospel, that is, to be baptized. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Just as that water saved Noah and his family, that water saves us today. That water washes our sins away. Baptism, Peter says, doth also now save us. Not like a bath, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not washing off dirt, as it were, but coming in contact with the blood of Christ, washing those sins away, arising again to walk in newness of life, being washed clean. that same water that saves the obedient condemns the disobedient, just as Noah did. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Then number 4. Noah preached concerning a judgment day. Again, 1 Peter 3, 19 through 21. Day was going to come, but the water would fall. The water would rise. And the world would be destroyed. There was no avoiding it. No getting around it. It was going to happen. Noah warned of that flood. He warned of it, that that flood would separate the wicked from the righteous. He warned of a day that would separate those two. The only sign that the end was near, as you can imagine, as that first drop began, or that first drop fell, as they began to hear the torrents of the rain, and the earth began to shake as the fountains of the deep began to break up. They began to run to the ark, this great boat, as it were, that Noah had built, only to see the door shut. There was no getting in. The only sign the end was near was that the door shut, and it was too late to change. Look at Genesis 7 and verse 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Preached a sermon before entitled, When God Shuts the Door. But you know, the wonderful thing is that in our day and time, the door has not been shut as of yet. Judgment day has not yet arrived. The Lord has not yet returned. The door is still open. But friends, know this, that when Christ returns with that shout and the sound of the trumpet, and every eye turns to the heaven to see Him there, and we're changed like in the blink of an eye, and those from the grave begin to rise and meet Him in the sky, at that time the door will have been shut. There will be no second chances. No more time to change. No more time to obey the preaching of Christ Jesus. Just as Noah preached of a day that was coming that would condemn the world, today we also preach of a judgment day. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is also a day in which the righteous and the wicked will be separated. Jesus spoke of that day in Matthew 25, 32 through 34, verse 41 and 46, speaking of the sheep and the goats being separated. One day the door of the church will shut, and it's going to be too late. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Friends, we still have an opportunity to be right with the Lord. Today we still have an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can learn much from the sermon of Noah. We've just discussed four of them tonight. Noah preached for around 120 years because his sermon began before he knew about the ark, before he knew about the flood. What about you? Do you find grace in the eyes of the Lord tonight? Consider these things, friend, as we put away our Bibles and we take out our song books, being ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Do you find grace in the eyes of the Lord tonight? Have you been obedient to every command that God has given us? Have you been saved by water? That is, being baptized for the remission of your sins. If so, are you faithful? One day the door will be shut. That day is coming, and it will be too late. Imagine, friends, the day when the waters began to fill up the earth, if Noah had offered them one more verse of the invitation song, so to speak, as the rain began to fall, how many would have come to the ark?
But it was too late. There was nothing else they could do. But friends, it's not too late for you today. But if you wait for the door to shut, it will be. We'll sing the invitation song here in just a second. Friends, I beg of you, as we sing that song, don't wait for an extra verse. Friend, if you're here tonight needing to obey the gospel, to be restored to the Lord's church, being forgiven of sin, or friends, if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.